This podcast is supported by Washington.org. Washington, D.C. offers visitors so much to explore. Just ask Dayo, who shared her experiences from a recent visit.
What was your favorite food all weekend?
The Ethiopian food at Sihei.
And the first place you would visit again?
The bookstore, Little District Books.
What did you appreciate the most?
Really just like the genuine kindness of everyone that I encountered this weekend.
Why should people visit D.C.?
Well, D.C. is a place with such a thriving culture.
Washington, D.C. has something for everybody. Plan your next trip at Washington.org.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast, your 15 minutes or less thing, long as hell, of music news and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica.
I want to get married like the Curry, Steph and Aisha, but we more like Belly, Tommy and Keisha. Gave you TLC, you want to creep and pulled out my whole heart to a piece of shit. Man, I thought you would have learned your lesson. About liking pictures, not returning texts. I guess it's fine, man, I get the message. You still stutter after certain questions. You keep in contact with certain exes. Do you though? Trust me, it's cool though. Said that you was working, but you out here chasing who knows. But you lies, chilling poolside, living two lives. I could've did what you did to me to you a few times. But if I did decide to slide, find somebody, let him hit, you would've been pissed. But that's not my M.O. I'm not that type of and karma for you is gonna be who you end up with. Don't make me sick.
Man, baby, I adore. I gave you everything was mine is yours. I want you to live your life, of course. But I hope you get what you're dying for. Be careful with me. Do you know what you're doing? Whose feelings that you hurting and bruising? You gon' gain the whole world, but is it worth the girl that you losing? Be careful with me. Yeah, it's not a threat, it's a warning. Be careful with me. Yeah, my heart is like a package with a fragile label on it. Be careful with me.
Be careful out there, people. It's Cardi season. I mean, it's really, when is it not Cardi season, to be fair? In the last 12 months, I don't think it's ever not been Cardi season, whether it's winter music or spring music or summer music or fall music. But specifically right now, it is Cardi season. And what would Cardi season be without the roundtable to end all roundtables? I'm not trying to insult or shade any prior New York Times podcast roundtable, but when I look around the actual roundtable right now, I don't know. Getting goosebumps. What can I say? I'm gonna start.
the faces are like getting more and more quizzical as John continues his introduction.
Well, just for that, I'm not starting with you. Just for that, you
I don't go, want to be starting last.
To my
don't
left.
Don't start with me.
Don't. I might. We have an hour. I might do that. To my left, it's Julianne Escobedo Shepherd, step editor of Jezebel. Hi.
Hi, John.
Sound effects. Okay, everybody has to have a sound effect. Moving around the table, Karen Gans, pop music editor of the New York Times.
I was worried that we were going to have sound effects.
Okay, yeah. Karen's sound effect is just a bored of herself saying things. Just saying
concern.
Things, yeah. Moving around the table, it's Naomi Zeichner, Artist Partnerships at YouTube.
Hey, John.
Hi, in the camo pants today. And to my right, or far left, depending how you look at it, it's Joe Coscarelli, pop music reporter of the New York Times.
Oi, oi.
Yes.
We're getting warmed up.
Oh, we're going to get there. Oh, we're going to get there. Because if anyone's the life of the party, you know it's us. Invasion of Privacy came out on Friday. Cardi was on SNL. She got interviewed by Ebro last week. A lot happening. A lot of GQ feature out today. We're really at peak Cardi right now. Let's start with the big news reveal from SNL. Cardi comes out on the second song, which she performed, Be Careful, which we just listened to at the top of the podcast, announcing that she is with child, a very strategically delivered moment. Did you guys watch live? Do you guys have GIFs on your phone? Like, talk to me. Where are we at on this?
I watched it live. Yeah. No GIFs.
Do you have a TV?
I do have a TV and cable I'm old.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
No, me too. Yeah, no, that wasn't like, I'm just curious. A lot of people don't.
Yeah, I watched it live. I like stayed home, turned on the TV, mm-hmm. like watched a couple really excruciating skits, mm-hmm. and then got to the Cardi performances.
You got being blessed.
Did you feel like you knew the pregnancy reveal was coming? Because I did not watch live, but I felt like I had a pretty good idea that that's what was going to be happening.
I feel like someone told me that. Right. Like, you know, gossip. Yeah, goes around, whatever.
It was
like, someone
in the
leaked
air.
It. To me, personally, someone like was definitively, she's going to do this. And so I was waiting for it. But it was still really infuriating for the first like minute or whatever and a half that they wouldn't pan out.
Right. They framed her real tight. If you guys have not seen the performance or a clip of the performance, it's a very tight shot for the first.
Well, in the intro,
kind of
in the Chadwick intro, you can sort of see her silhouette in the background.
And
you're
like,
okay, that's real curvy, even for Cardi. But I'm not sure until then. Yeah, you get the pan out, and then it's like spotlight on the belly with the tight white dress. I thought it was a beautiful moment.
I thought it was like goosebumpsy. I saw it. It was like the first thing I saw when I woke up, and I felt like almost tearful. But I did think like the night before at her album release party, you know, they've very strategically styled her in these last couple of months with like tulle and belted trenches. And she just had on a t-shirt and shorts. Like you couldn't see, but it was pretty like she felt comfortable. And I think it was kind of like a dress rehearsal.
Easing in. Yeah. TMZ had the item that was like, she looks kind of pregnant at the album release party, but we're, you know,
I just got to shout out Christian Siriano, who custom made her dress.
The first dress or the second dress or both
the
dresses?
The second dress. Uh-huh. The pregnancy dress. Yeah. It was custom, obviously, because, you know, but Christian Siriano is one of the only people who will dress curvy women, and he made her look like somebody from Frozen, a cartoon I have not seen, but.
Project Runway Hive.
Yes, Project Runway.
Yeah,
just a whole sidebar. When is Fashion Nova gonna get an LVMH deal? Like, can we talk?
I mean, tomorrow.
Caring Group.
Wait like, till whenever Anna Wintour.
I just like to put that
resigns,
out.
Probably.
Just want to say you heard it here.
I still get served the sponsored Cardi B post where she talks about Fashion Nova and how their denim is the only denim that fits her. Like, I get served it like still twice a day.
Nice.
The real good Americans, Fashion Nova. So, Invasion of Privacy is. I think probably the thing I was most struck by on a structural level is it's very concise. This is not an album that is trying to achieve 20 different things. This is not an album that is sort of like overflowing. It's pretty tightly focused. There are a number of, I feel, constituencies that are addressed within the record, but it is not. I feel like sometimes an artist debut album is almost overly strategic in the we're going to solve, especially in the streaming era. We're just going to go all over the place.
It's not A&R'd to death. It doesn't feel A&R'd to death in the way that a lot of major label, especially rap debuts, are and it comes across. And this is like the guests seem natural. Mm-hmm. The play, like the track list, as you say, is like pretty succinct. I don't know. It doesn't it felt like they let her naturalism ride in a way that I really appreciated and would not have expected, honestly. Like I thought they were going to mess it up.
I think in the days ahead of the release, like, you know, and people were like, oh, like, is she going to do it? Is she going to flop? Is it going to be okay? I kept sort of just saying out loud, like, it just needs to be as good as Culture 2. And I think what we I think what we got is something that's like much closer to Culture 1 than Culture 2 and like is better, you know, with no shots, but is maybe stronger than Culture 2.
And Joe, to your point about sort of A&R into death, I mean, I think one of the struggles that's happening a lot in hip hop labels right now, especially with younger artists, is this idea, whether it's because of how the streaming ecosystem works or whatnot, but that you've got to put your person next to 20 other people to both boost up their credibility, but also potentially trick people into liking them. Be like, oh, you like Lil Yachty, you may like this person. You like whoever, you may like this person. Cardi is such a force of nature and kind of so intensely charismatic on her own that actually I think I wouldn't be surprised if they were pushing people away from this record.
Oh, I think absolutely. I feel like people, I don't know, but like people, especially last summer, were like constantly texting me to try to get to Cardi B because they thought, and like, so everybody and their mother was like, do you think Cardi B would do a feature for me? And so I'm sure not only did they like have to push people away for her own record,
the DMs,
but she had to say no to people that probably would have been really interesting. I think people were so excited about her on a personal level, on a sonic level. Like people really wanted that energy on there.
And I think that I don't want to overstate the lack of A&R-ing here. Like there is a single with 21 Savage who is like stream king. You know, there is the J Balvin.
Bad Bunny.
There is a J Balvin Bad Bunny feature.
Sorry. You know.
You're going to speak on that.
I hate 21 Savage's verse so much on Bardi Icardi. I hate it so much.
You hate it. content or you hate its delivery or both, all the
both,
above?
Both. Just cut it. Some DJ give me a Cardi only Bardier.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But
no,
yeah,
it's fine.
But yeah,
it's,
like, you
Zone
know,
six is the, royal right
the,
now.
The guests, I'll say the guests are strategic without seeming forced.
Right, yeah. But you're not wedged in.
A chance, you know, you get chances and mm-hmm. the other sort of big feature on the album. It's like, it doesn't make perfect sense, but like they pull it off.
Yeah, I think the only record that feels like extremely A&R to me is the one with Bad Bunny and J Balvin. Even though I think the Bad Bunny verse is really good, but it does feel, and it should be noted, you know who gets a producer credit on that song? Craig Coleman.
Wow. That's wild. I'll say that, like, I literally.
Shouts to Craig Coleman. Like, yeah. No knock. Go Google that. If you don't know who that is, go Google who that is. Let's listen to I Like It. So I Like It, as you will hear, is largely based around I Like It Like That, which is a song that's been covered many, many, many times. I think the original version is from the late 60s. Boogaloo Record, Pete Rodriguez. Pedro coming in, New Eureka National Anthem. Shep, what do you think about this choice?
I think it's a very, very studied choice in that it's very natural, A, because as Pedro said, is the New York mm-hmm. National Anthem. In New York in the summer, you're going to hear that song 100 zillion times, yeah. No matter where you are. But
it's for the grandmas and for the kids.
I was going to say, I'm going to play, I think last Cardi podcast, I talked about how I had not yet played Cardi for my Dominican abuelita, but this song I will definitely play
yeah,
for her.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, you're going to, you're out here for La Viejas, like, mm-hmm. and it's smart. It feels very natural, but it's also just like the savviest move they could have made. And I really need them to release this like right at the cusp of summer, because whether or not this is going to chart anywhere else, it probably will. Miami, Chicago, oh, yeah. wherever. But this is going to rule New York City for the entire summer. And so it was savvy and I'm ready for it. And I need it to happen immediately so I can just like walk around in no clothes and like do like some Cuban rhythm.
Also, LOL, how is Pitbull not on this record?
No, don't. Oh.
don't put that in the world.
I don't want to. I understand the flaws of it, but like conceptually, you know, there was some A&R guy in the building who was like, let's just get Pitbull. And people had to be like, stop.
Dollars, I like diamonds, I like stunning, I like shining, I like $1 million deals, where's my pen, bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula, I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving wrong, I do what they say I can. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body, spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a Somali, bird, go, go. Rory, hop up the stoop, jump in the coop, big dip on top of the roof, flexing them as hard as I can, eating halal, driving a Lamb. So that bitch, I'm sorry though, got my coins like Mario. Yeah, they call me Cardi B, I run this shit like cardio. Diamond District in the chain. Certified, you know I'm gang, 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 gang. Drive the top and blow the brand. Oh, he's so handsome, what's his name?
Chambean, pero no jalan. Tú compras todas las Jolambo, a mí me las regalan. I spend in the club, what you have in the bank. This is the new religion bank, el latino gang. Está toda servieta, pero es que en el closet tengo mucha grasa. Ya mudé la Gucci pa' dentro de casa, yeah.
I literally learned who Ozuna was because the music was in a Cardi B Instagram story. So to her credit, I'll say, you know, in a very real way, you know, I believe that she's a big fan of Bad Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's
absolutely.
She's Dominican from the Bronx. Like, yeah, I mean, and actually, you know, even though it probably was A&R to hell, I mean, I think it would have felt more natural without J Balvin, but I'm a noted J Balvin hater, so.
Team No Balvin.
I love Bad Bunny, though, and I think that if we get a J Balvin-less version...
I love this. Who's going to make Julianne her personal version?
Yeah, I just need this record.
Else, Julianne, just like quick sidebar. Who else should we cut off this record?
Like, Chance. Has to go?
Chance. So you got to cut. You got to lose that Chance. Whole song then, probably.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Really? That's okay. It's the sound of a man grinning. Like you can hear him smiling through the verses.
Chance has like been.
Joy?
No, I don't hate Joy, but it just like I get what that song is accomplishing, but it just sounds cheesy.
Wait, just for the record, I hate Joy, and I think this song is fine.
Why do you hate Joy?
You know me.
I mean, I know I'm being kind of a little bit gauche and a hater right now, and I don't entirely mean killing Chance from this record. I think that what his presence and what the other features speak to is her versatility, which I think people didn't really expect from her, mm-hmm. perhaps. And she really just tried new things, is a zillion percent better just as a rapper.
Oh, yeah.
Her delivery, her bars, her presence. And, you know, I can't remember the last time I was this happy listening to a full album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just like literally jumping on my bed on Friday when it came out, just playing it.
So your whole weekend was dominated by appointment engagements with Cardi B cultural releases.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah, I just want to clarify for the people.
I mean, it was actually.
Okay, that's fine.
And also Monday too, you know?
Yeah, here we are.
GQ piece came out. I was like thinking about that again.
And here we are.
I edited an amazing Cardi B review this morning by our culture editor, Clover Hope.
Shouts to Clover.
Just like, shouts to Clover. And Clover put it really well because she said something about just how much the album is made in her image. And like you were saying, Naomi, that's all that it needed. It just needed to be fully her. It didn't need to be a Chainsmokers album, for instance.
Give it time.
I'd listen to Cardi on a Chainsmokers single. I would just see what happens. Just, like,
as
just
I said, Joe is sitting to the far left of me.
Yeah.
Just while we're nominating things to get cut from the record, can I speak on that?
Go for
sure,
it.
Sure, John.
Kehlani.
Wait, I would love to defend that record.
All right. We have Kehlani's number one fan in one corner.
We should also, just for context, so Naomi Zeigner, before being a big baller in the YouTube ecosystem, was the editor of The Fader.
Right.
Julianne Shepherd has been a senior level editor at The Fader. There's a lot of Fader hive in the building today.
And Fader very early to the career
of
Cardi B.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
B.
I wrote that's like the three full of the first Fader cover stories.
Shout out Rawia.
Sorry.
That's where that was going.
Right.
I thought that's what you were bringing up.
No, I was saying that.
Well, I thought you were asking me to disclose.
No, I was saying that the Fader was also early on
Cardi's
music career,
yes.
Which we'll give them credit for.
So for broader context, I just wanted to throw that out there. But and also Kehlani Hot. So
I'll say that the Kehlani song to me is the weak link on the album.
Yeah.
And now you can go.
It really reminds me of this Rico Love song that was big a couple years ago.
Okay, fine. I like it.
I'm just like, I really, I think it's a very strong radio R&B song, or like, you know, and I don't.
Maybe Rico loves
it. But it's interesting, like, like a lot of people don't love it. And I guess I'm really just trying to unpack what that is. But I think they were people who they're obviously both signed to Atlantic Records, but I think they naturally were sort of like in each other's orbit pretty quickly, like, you know, pre Bodak Yellow even. And I think I'm happy that they got on something together. I think that there may be a video. Like, I'm happy that they're investing in that track and investing in each other.
I would have liked for Kehlani to meet Cardi on like a swaggy level, yes. instead of them having
right.
to like come to like this like heartbroken whatever. It's just a little. It's just a little down.
Mouth.
Yeah, it's a
Sad
little down.
Sad Girl
for
Hive
me.
Is over. Is basically like.
And also, Cardi is not Sad Girl.
Yeah, that,
exactly.
Well, like,
that's
even
that's
on Be Careful, she's not Sad Girl.
Emotional range.
That's and okay. I think actually that's like when we talk about this is 13 songs, like very little skip, that it's a pleasure to listen to. I think this has been a year of lots of sad rap music, lots of sad things in the world, but not even going there, just lots of dark sounding rap. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you know, this paired with also like Drake's two new singles, like it might be personal bias, but I'm just very psyched to have positive rap songs out there.
I'm with
you. It feels good.
For sure.
Talking about versatility, for better or for worse, this is something that I think I was struck by. And I want to, as we're about to start talking about Cardi's versatility, let's actually talk about something that came out before this record. Let's talk about the Finesse remix with Bruno Mars. So let's listen to a little bit of that.
Cardi B straight stunning, can't tell me nothing, bossed up and not changed again. Just give it, it's my big bronze boogie, got all them girls.
world shook. Shook. My big fat got all them boys cooked. Hook. Went from dollar bills and I be popping rubber bands. Bruno Sang, tell me while I do my money dance. Like, hey. Flexing on the gram like, hey. Hit that little John, okay. 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 Oh yeah, we dripping the finesse and getting paid. Ow.
Ooh, don't we look good together?
Okay, so if you guys have watched the Cardi interview with Ebro that came out recently, Ebro asks her very straightforwardly about her improvements as a rapper, how she's come a long way since her mixtapes. And she talks very earnestly about wanting to become a better technical rapper. I will say when the Finesse remix came out, she sounds great on that remix. It sounds extremely different from almost everything else. So you think of someone who's versatile, but also potentially being shown how to be versatile. And I think there's been some recent stuff about whether it's a ghostwriter or people working with her in the studio. There's a rapper named Partisan Fontaine who has a bunch of writing credits, or at least I believe Atlantic has yet to provide me with writing credits as of this recording. Scratch head. We'll see. But let's talk about versatility, because I think when I think of the rap music that I grew up listening to and the rap music that I grew up writing about, versatility was in a weird way a kind of no-no. It was like you sound like you sound, and then that's it. That's your thing. And then you're either someone will bite your style or not bite your style, but you can't have multiple styles. That's changing. When I hear this record, I hear multiple styles. Is that a pro or is that a con?
I think for me, it's definitely a pro. I think, you know, in the streaming era, but also maybe just in the social media era, in the internet era, like, I don't know why we wouldn't think that albums and singles are not like Hollywood style productions. You know, this is like big level thinking. We're creating personalities. We're like creating people to be attached to, not just like songs that are going to sound decent in a rotation. And I don't take any offense at the idea that more heads would do better than one, that like creative collaboration is okay. I don't think that means anybody is any lesser. And I think people who, you know, assemble the right committee and come out with like dynamic results are the smartest leaders. And I think that Cardi sort of, that's how she comes off here.
If you think of the people sort of in the last decade or two who have been bigger than rap in that way, you know, 50 or Jay or Drake or Nicki, you know, they've been people who have taken to heart this idea that they need to have as many styles as possible, and they need to be able to do a radio song and to do a sad singing song and to do a party song and to do a bar song. You know, like these are entertainers like on the highest level. And I think that she has made clear very early on that she wants to like play in that league. And I respect it. And I think, John, you mentioned the Ebro Beats One interview, and that's where Cardi sort of says like, I see you people on the internet saying that I have a ghostwriter, and she sort of owns it in that way. When he says like, did you get better? She was like, yeah, like my mixtapes sounded like trap. They sounded like drill. I could only really flow in one way, and I wanted to learn how to flow more. So I called my friend Partisan, this guy, Party Fontaine, who, you know, there's a clip of him rapping part of Be Careful from, I guess, like more than a year ago.
Yeah, like a year and change ago.
And she says, you know, she says like, I heard that record and he had one verse on it and I wanted it. And and he was like, all right, you just got to kill it.
She absorbed it.
Yeah, she absorbed it. And she that's, you know, this is a bit of a rehash of the conversation we had around the Drake Meek Mill beef, mm-hmm. which is sort of like, are you allowed basically to use songwriters as inspiration?
Should we talk about Partisan just for a second? So he's a rapper. He's from Joe
Newburgh, New York,
New York, yeah. Just north of the city. He had a record that I liked a lot a couple years ago. Let's listen to a record called Oi.
Now I'm in a honey rack. Oi, get your woman snatched. Oi, give it to a good, now she in love with that. Oi, oi, that AK do the thunderclap. Oi, and trust me, you don't want none of that. Like now I'm in a honey rack. Oi, get your woman snatched. Oi, your pinky so good and I might double back. Oi, oi, that AK do the thunderclap. Oi, and trust me, you don't want none of that. Now will I make it?
In this white cruel world, it's not for certain. Chances slim, like a high school girl being a virgin. Chances slim, like Tommy from Martin actually working. Chances slim, like a nigga named Quan being a surgeon. You ain't fucking with me, enough said. Y'all niggas don't wanna bump heads. Your girl sleep under me, and I don't got no bunk beds. Think I love your baby mama, her you still get dumb wet. I give your child a stepbrother, then teabag your drum set. I went to sitting on the milk crates, stunting all in this day and date. All my plans working out, my future is in great shape. Never touch pies, but I make cake. Passports when I vacate. You mad, cause yo, if treat my ass like a shake weight. Yeah, I'm stunting on your dash while I'm grabbing your dash. I'm a playboy, playboy, that's a chick mag. You get that? Tricking on the hoes, don't do that. Again, we can play around, put two in that. Again, be looking in the mirror like you that. Moving my reflection your back, but you knew that.
I mean, it's Newberg grime. Newberg grime. It's Newberg grime.
Yeah, Newberg grime.
It's Newberg grime.
That far, like far uptown grime.
The Newberg generals.
So Joe Coscarelli, who is the in-house K-file of the New York Times pop music group.
Rap game K-file.
Rap game K-file.
Reject that immediately.
Yeah, I can't own that.
Okay, well, whatever the good version of that is, texted me earlier today with some deep dig on the life of the party Instagram.
Honestly, this isn't even that deep. I'll just spill my source on this. I think someone responded to a Craig Jenkins tweet with this link. Shout out to Craig. His review just went up. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's really good.
Naomi says it's really good. Anyway, there is this thing where people are trying to discredit any female rapper, right? Yes. They must have a ghostwriter. It's a persistent thing. Cardi, I think, has been really smart about owning it right away. But the clip you're talking about is from 2014, and it's Cardi with Party, seemingly, singing along to Oi, the song you just heard.
Yeah, like an album release party or a club show or something like that.
And I mean, it's everything we love about Cardi today, just like in this pre-fame moment with who are clearly her friends. And it's just beautiful. And I'm glad they've collaborated, and I'm glad Party is about to make some money.
I mean, and just think of all the money it took to wag the dog and really like reverse engineer that clip and install it on his Instagram from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Just think how hard that was. So let's continue to talk about versatility on this record, because the thing that she talks about in the Ebra interview about how her flow used to be, should we listen to an old Cardi song? Like a mixtape Cardi song? What should we listen to?
Like Forever?
Okay, so let's listen to Forever from the first Cardi B mixtape, which is from 2016, Gangsta Bitch Music Volume 1.
Be how disgraceful. I have my haters come and duct tape you. And you can get it too. Double tape, boo. So let's get it. So let's get it. So let's get it. Let's not waste a minute. You clearly started. So let's finish. I don't do forgiveness. They take the kindness for a gimmick. I'm just here for business. I'm running down and I'm with it. Back. Rain down on that boot twice. Rain down on that boot twice. You know me, I be with whatever. Be for me, we gon' be forever. Rain down on that boot twice. Rain down on that boot twice. You know me, I be with whatever. Be for me, we gon' be forever.
So I think if you listen to that song and compare it to the sort of flow patterns that are on Invasion of Privacy, it feels really, really miles apart. What do you guys feel about Cardi B's technical rapping? Forget songcraft for a moment, but the technical rapping on this album.
It's crazy good.
Yeah.
Her syntax blows my mind. I think her cadences are bananas. One of the things that you were saying earlier kind of implied that, you know, we think perhaps someone is teaching her how to do this. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, maybe someone is, maybe someone isn't, but she has the pure raw talent to do it.
Yep.
The fact is, like, mm-hmm. you and I are old and we've been listening to rap for since God knows when. And we have, I'm assuming, have rapped along to different styles. You don't see us out here like that.
It's true. No amount of time in the studio with Partisan Fontaine could turn either one of you into Cardi B. I'm confident.
Y'all haven't seen my SoundCloud.
For the better.
I don't know what I could do.
I mean, but you know,
I'm confident about that.
I think her charisma, her drive, just her ability to verbalize her thoughts at every moment, I think has really translated her or translated to her being this really incredibly technically gifted rapper. I think it was always in her, and she just needed someone to come unlock the door.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely
and,
right.
And I think that really stood out to me in the SNL performances, because Be Careful is, I feel like, slyly an extremely difficult song to rap, and she adds a lot of extra words in, almost, and the way she delivered them on SNL, like, her breath control, her use of the microphone, like she didn't miss anything. Mm-hmm. She's better than 99% of the young rappers you see trying to perform, and she just was a master.
No, and you could tell that she was
very early.
There were a lot
on.
Of radio edits on SNL too, and she nailed them all. And usually, I see people screaming that up constantly.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I just was very. I think you're right that she has a ton of natural talent, but I also think she's just a good student. And she learned how to be a musician very quickly.
And I think when you say she just needed someone to lock the door, I really believe that, like, I mean, I think in this case, she had a great close team that she really loves. And, I also think her label team is, like, closer to her than most label teams in a positive way. But I also think that she locked the door on herself. I mean, I really think from day one, like, you know, whether I don't think it was like the stakes were too high and she psyched herself out. I just think she wanted to make something great. And I think she took it very seriously. And I think she was a student, but of her own game, if you will.
I also think something that I found really refreshing in the press cycle leading up to this album, she's been speaking really openly about how hard it is to make a record. Yeah. And I feel like that's something that we don't talk about a lot. And I feel like maybe it's because most rappers are men and most men don't want to present as struggling or working hard. They just want it to seem like things come naturally. But she talks about spending late nights in the studio and how draining that is. And even on Partisan's Instagram, he's like, I saw how hard you worked to make sure every detail is right. That's part of the story, that she's working at making great music. I actually find that refreshing. It's nice to hear, because I think there has become this kind of mythology, especially in recent years. I don't, say with Migos, like, we don't write our songs. Like, we just show up and, like, you go in the studio.
And
like,
I think that's true about that.
But I was going to say.
I think it's true, but it sort of, like, creates this mythology that, like, rap just happens.
I feel like my experience of the idea of how Migos record is actually kind of different, though. Like, they always talk about they talk about, Quavo always says, like, being a rapper is like being a football player, right? And I think he means it in the sense of, like, you do long practices and you repeat stuff over and over and, like, you have to show up all the time and it's a long season and, like, every game counts. And I think actually that
every day is Huncho,
you know, day. maybe they do, maybe there is like a gendered way in that colors the way they speak about it, but I have to believe that, you know, one of the things that Cardi respects about Offset is like the seriousness with which he approaches the craft and the time that they've spent, and that she found that inspiring in some way.
Speaking of Migos, should we listen to Drip?
Yes.
Let's listen to Drip, which is the second song on the record.
God. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin' ice. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin' ice.
Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'
ice.
Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Came through drippin', drip, drip. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'. Take off.
Came through drippin', drippin'. I ain't never slippin', I'm a pimp, pimp. Fuckin' with a quarter million, n***a, what a feelin'. I bought the mission, n***a, they be tellin' off a squirrel. Splash, took a bit to pick a dealer. Water in my ear, give a wet willy. Came through drippin', drip. Spillin'. Fuckin' with the bag, tryna get my n***as all a million. Stack it to the ceiling, shootin' at civilians. Under one dealer, I can make a killer. Bass, can you smell it when I back seal it? Flat, throw it up, don't care about your feelings. Food, what they did, what you wearin', I be drippin'. Got ripped, can't hit a n***a, can't grip it. Got this, so I guess she ate jiffy. If she leave with me, I'ma fly back to the city. Show.
Go get the bag on the day off. Racks. Go get the rings out the playoffs. Rings. Tossing the beaters a bake off. Facts. Look on a dish, she get laid off.
Smash.
Big boy twos, Mako. Big boy. Made it down with the Draco.
Dance.
Walking with the G, that queso.
Jeez.
That's Huncho, f*** the Rodeo.
Huncho.
Private jet, we don't do layover. Whew. One call, I'm having your bay over. Walk out the spot with the makeover. Whew. Gotta addict it to payover.
Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made. Or how a wooden table is built, piece by piece. and in not-so-small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
Hi, this is Eric Kim with New York Times Cooking. As a recipe developer, I spend a lot of my time trying to come up with dishes that are quick, easy, but also very special. For me, that means dishes like gochugaru salmon. It's a crispy salmon fillet with a salty, sweet glaze that bubbles up and candies. I love cooking this because it only takes 20 minutes. I developed this recipe when I was down in Georgia with my family. It stars a Korean red pepper powder called gochugaru. I love the way it blooms in the maple syrup and the rice vinegar. If you don't have gochugaru, you should totally get some. It's super versatile. It's not just that it brings heat, but fruity sweetness as well. You can get this recipe and so many more ideas on New York Times Cooking. Visit nytcooking.com to get inspired.
Okay, so my most unexpected moment listening to this record was basically jumping off my couch when the Takeoff verse came out. On
Takeoff sounds great.
Oh my
Takeoff
God.
Album now.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, I'm definitely, like, you know, I understand as far as popular conversation about the Migos go, you know, there's a Quavo moment and then it shifted to the Offset moment. And I understand inevitably you arrive at a Takeoff moment, but this verse, oh my God. It, like, shook my teeth loose. It's phenomenal. So, anyway, this is very exciting, and it shows that Takeoff took this damn seriously. He was just like, I'm going in on this. And I don't know. I was very – I was moved by the high level of this particular song, and whether it's because of personal connections or professional or who knows why, but it's just – I think it's an exceptional record.
Do we like it better than Motorsport even?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Not even close.
Yeah, yes. Sure.
It's much stronger, much tighter than Motorsport.
And as far as other collaborations on the record, I think, like, you know, I like the 21 Savage record. Julianne, hopefully not going
like
to stab me.
I just don't like
You
his,
don't like him.
I don't like
I like
his
21
verse.
Savage's verse on that record. Sorry.
We'll let you guys fight about
just
this.
Just, like, retreating into
we
the corner.
We can talk about this
retreating
later.
Retreating into the corner.
We'll take this in the alley behind the New York Times building.
Again, wouldn't be the first time. So I think the Bad Bunny verse is really good.
The SZA collab is a crazy strong way to, like, a you know, mm-hmm. a exclamation point on the end of the record. And, you know, like, yeah, in the same way that you were saying, you kind of wished Kehlani might have sort of, like, come to Cardi's vibe with
SZA
the swag.
Went there.
SZA went there, and it's so good. Yeah. And SZA, like, you know, I think about SZA as one of the other women alongside Cardi B who's really succeeded in streaming, in urban streaming, which is sort of a male-dominated space still. And I think it's, like, really powerful that they have this record together.
We should listen to that too, right?
Yeah,
while we're here.
So, yeah, let's listen to I Do with SZA.
I left the on red cause I felt like it. Dress me down in that red in Laurent jacket. Dapper, dapper, I look fine and my checks defined. No wonder, wonder why I do whatever I like. I do what I like, I do, I do. I do what I like, I do, I do. I do what I like, I do, I do. I do what I like, I do, I do.
I think it's bad. It's a gift from God.
Gift from God.
I think you broke. Need to get a job.
Get a job.
Now I'm a boss. I run my own name on the checks.
God.
So good. I said my own name during sex. I might smack a cause I felt like it. Gucci shoes and a belt like it. Said the Cardi is his favorite fragrance. I'm a rich bitch and I smell like him. And the boss been smooth. Hey, these shoes are Givenchy. These are some boss bitch shoes. If you ain't no boss bitch, smooth. Hey. For the record, I said record, record sales. I like, they've been in and out of jail. They say by now that I'll be finished, hard to tell.
I can tell.
My little 15 minutes lasting long as hell.
I left the on red cause I felt like it. Dress me down in that red in Laurent jacket. Dapper, dapper, I look fine and my checks defined. No wonder, wonder why I do.
So another really strong standout song on this record, it's Bickenhead. And that is versioning off of Project Batch Chickenhead. It is also another sort of pure rapping showcase for Cardi.
Goes for my nest. Yeah, come across the globe. This goes for my
guap guap, get some bread. Guap guap, get some chicken. Guap guap, get some bread. Press, you can flex, get some money. Tell me why you stress.
Julianne, I know that song. Yeah, you seem excited.
Oh, I love this.
Everybody come with sound effects.
So much.
Oh my god.
Partly because I mean, okay.
Speak on
this. This is so stupid, but when bacon heads come home to roost.
Oh.
But like, you know, I mean, honestly, this is so dumb. But like, so those of us who came to feminism through hip hop and mm-hmm. who are like our students of hip hop feminism have always kind of wanted this or seen the one way that women rappers can respond and fans can respond to the male dominance of rap is through these sort of answer tracks or these revisions. And I feel like she really just like manifested everything that I've ever wanted mm-hmm. from a woman rapper. Like I get really, I mean, obviously, because it has the backstory. It's a Project Pat song about, you know, giving brain. Mm-hmm. If I can say that.
You can now.
Podcast. We're going to let it slide.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
can just figure it out. Google it.
Yeah. A lot of Googling on this episode.
A lot of Googling.
A lot of Googling.
Google it from your phone in private.
She turned a rather condescending and offensive, misogynistic verse about brain into guap, guap, getting, what is it? Getting chicken?
Yeah.
Guap, guap, getting chicken. Guap, guap, getting bread. Yo. She's about her money and she's going to get it. And if you want to drop it low at any point, she's going to be right there to cheer you on, dude. So, yeah, I don't know.
Google
I lost my
Julianne's entire answer. Wait,
also, just sidebar, she really front loads the record. Like, Be Careful comes on track 5 and spiritual cousin to that record to me is Through Your Phone, which is to me even maybe the more enjoyable version of what Be Careful does. Let's listen to Through Your Phone.
Serve it to you like here you go. Bon appetit. Look, do you give it to her? You love her or not? You risk your home for a hope in the bar? You really want them? You can have them. You don't even cheat with no bad. This just eating me. You sleeping peacefully. Getting more mad at you. Thinking about stabbing. You don't even know that you this close to dying. You gonna wake up like, why you got an attitude?
My heart is beating like it's sleeping like a baby. Everyone was right about to now. I went to your phone last night. I went to your phone last night. Saw some things I didn't like. I went to your phone last night. It's killing me, killing me, killing me.
While we're talking about feminism, if I could go back to the pregnancy reveal for a second.
Please.
I think I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. I'm so moved by this pregnancy reveal because just like we're talking about, like we're at peak Cardi right now. We've been at peak Cardi really for like a year, right? Everything is like these unimaginable new heights. And I think like, you know, in culture in the last couple of years, there's sort of this like lean in feminism idea that at the peak of your career, you should not go become a homemaker. You should lean into your career. You should like, you know, you shouldn't take a pause. It's not necessary. And, you know, I don't want to sort of like totally invalidate that idea or something, but the sort of the suggestion, the very public lesson that I hope we're all about to learn is that like, you know, you can become a mother at the peak of your career and you can continue to be a peak and you can be mm-hmm. a mother through that peak. And I feel like that's something actually that just like in private conversations with my friends that I find people aren't comfortable with or they don't expect. And I really think that that's like it's something that has to change, you know, as a woman who's approaching childbearing age. I like think about it, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's like, you know, that Cardi B would be the one to teach us this lesson is not surprising to me, but it's very beautiful.
Well, because it's not even the same as Beyonce getting pregnant, because you say peak, but it's still early in Cardi's career. Yeah. Like, yep. She's not established. Like, she could be gone as quick as she came. Like, I think we've seen in her music that that's probably not going to happen. And I feel like a lot of people's worries have been soothed by the quality of her output mm-hmm. post Bodak Yellow. But the fact that, yeah, she's not four albums in, she's not 20 Grammys in, you know what I mean? Like she's seemingly made this choice knowing that she's like still on the runway in a lot of, in terms of having a career. She certainly had an impact, but in terms of
she's got a September tour, right? Like,
yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
Hopefully in cities with delivery rooms.
They have her due in July.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Well, God. Well, also, I think it's probably not a coincidence that she pregnancied, meaning, you know, the last person to reveal a pregnancy this way was Beyonce. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that seeing the success, like she's following in these footsteps, and that's where she wants to get. Similarly, I noticed that Drake is actually following her a little bit because
I thought
as
you
said,
pregnant. I was like, damn.
Is there anything Drake can't do? No. I mean, this kind of, I wanted to say this earlier, but going back to her idea of working really hard and like putting in the work while she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Drake recently did an Instagram that was like him looking really like a little out of it. He looked like he needed to moisturize probably and was like, look at you can see the album under my eyes or something. Yeah. And it was like, oh, you're working so hard.
And I feel like the EP title Scary Hours was also a reference to that. You know, it's like you pull all nighters to make good music. It's the and your under eyes suffer.
Yeah. So you're
I know.
Also imagine being in the studio, because we all know like every studio at 4 a.m. we've all been reporters in this situation is just completely like, you know, a fog of weed. I guess not anymore because of vaping, but still, kind of. It's still like a kind of fog. And like, she's out here. She's like, you know what? Like, she's working really hard. She is pregnant. You can work really hard when you're pregnant.
And women do all the time, right? Like,
yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Well, that's sort of like you mentioning Beyonce in the same breath as Cardi. Like,
I just like how you pause. Like, you just like.
It raises this question.
Did you want to make sure all the hidden microphones track all mentions of Beyonce?
Yeah, it's scary.
Make sure they knew you were talking about her? Okay.
It's scary. It's scary when you invoke.
Yeah, it's true.
But I wonder what you guys think this album portends for Cardi's career. Like, basically, what is her ceiling? And also, what does it mean for the rest of the playing field? Like, there's another female rapper that we may remember who might have new music coming soon. Like, there's
only said her name once.
I know. We're mostly not talking about her, but that's going to happen, whether, you know, sooner or later. There are many other female rappers sort of working really hard at the moment and starting to get noticed for it. Like, does Cardi broaden the lane? Is there still only one female rapper at a time? Like, where are we?
I mean, that last question, I've always hoped the answer was no. And I think there are structural things in how radio playlists operate and how record labels operate that probably have caused issues with that. But, like, I think you see that Cardi is thriving on kind of her own terms. And I think if Nicki came with a single right now, I don't think anybody would knock a Cardi song off of a playlist.
Right.
I don't think that would happen. I can't imagine. That said, you know, Nicki has not had a lot of songs recently.
She had some songs last year.
She had a lot of hits.
I just said she's had some songs. She put out some songs last year.
I'm just, you know, just take her
for she's been working on this album for like 2.5 years. Yeah. Like, she might just be sort of marinating on it. I'm really worried about not what the industry will do per se, but what fans might do. You know, there's always this tendency, and I saw it even just reading various mentions to Cardi's album tweets. Not that I'm doing that
<It's> a hell of
on
a tweet
regular
deck,
basis.
Hell of a tweet
but
deck.
I just but you know, fans kind of have this tendency to pit women rappers against each other and women musicians, period. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, it depends on what messages they're sending. Like, they've been on songs together. Like, I think it's probably good for their futures and the future of women in rap as a multiplicity.
Yeah. Also, it's one thing that I think we have to say about Cardi's success level in the last 12 months. Now, these terms and these spaces are probably more malleable than ever, but Cardi's success is bigger than the hip hop, the world of hip hop. Cardi mm-hmm. is a pop music figure. She is a pop culture figure. Obviously,
so
hip hop. Yeah, so is Nicki. Yeah. Exactly. But she is not, if those rules exist and if those struggles exist, a lot of times they are scene specific struggles. They are coming from an outmoded system that has a set of expectations that people who actually push the culture forward are moving faster than the rules are evolving. So I worry less and less about that. And I also worry about it less because of the versatility on this record. Because if some arbitrary radio station, hip-hop station programmer in Kansas City is like, I couldn't possibly play a Cardi song and a Nicki song in the same hour, if that ever happened, like what happened with country radio, like the big thing that happened in country music radio 2 or 3 years ago, where it's like men are the lettuce and women are the tomatoes, and Lord knows we can never play more than one or two women. If that happens, Cardi's got a song with Bad Bunny and J Balvin. If it happens, she's got the Kalani record, which is not my favorite, but maybe that'll go in a different direction. She has a number of different options in front of her as far as direction she can go and success and accolades she can receive.
Yeah, I think that people also forget there's sort of like this narrative about Cardi that her success was super sudden, right? And she was out here for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And I do think that people in music became comfortable with her, you know, like incrementally over time after fashion started accepting her, or, you know, like I think that her numbers on social spoke for themselves, and that's true for a lot of women who sort of get absorbed into the music industry. But, you know, people had to like establish that she was legit over time, and it took the music industry a while to embrace her in the way that it has. And I think that, you know, speaking about versatility, though, there's sort of this funny thing happening in rap right now where like there's so many amazing women artists mm-hmm. percolating oh, yeah. a lot, you know, some within the label system, some sort of in the new, like, you know, big distro system. Mm-hmm. But a lot
the
of them
distro.
Are a lot like of that. Them are spitters, right? Like yeah. this is, I don't know, somebody tweeted like all the girls are spitters and all the guys are singers, right?
It's true. Yeah.
And it is, but so like I just thinking about that, I'm kind of like, what is that about? Like, is there a sense that if you're a woman, you have to be extra hard, go harder on your bars to prove that you can? You know, I think that some of these sort of like developing women artists and also like the A&Rs who are working with them, the managers that are working with them, would do well to think about Cardi's versatility on a personality level, mm-hmm. on a musical level, and how that might sort of organically apply to the projects that they're working. Because I think a lot of these women have big stories to tell and yeah. multifaceted personalities, as all yes. women do.
Rap Caviar is very notoriously one of the biggest influencer playlists on Spotify and the internet.
I've never
kind
listened
of
to it. I don't
equivalent.
Know.
I haven't either. This is based on a piece that we published by David Turner. But it is notoriously, yeah, it's one of the biggest playlists, has one of the most, you know, the largest subscriber lists of any playlist on the internet. But it's very, very
male.
Unbalanced. Male. Yeah, male, exactly. Yeah. Like there, you know, there have only been, I think, four or five women lead rappers on the entire playlist last year. And, you know, they're
that
like.
That even seems high. I mean, this is the base on.
Honestly, yeah. let Dej Loaf. That's all. I just,
yeah, maybe Dej was one. Dej was one.
If we could get a Dej Loaf album out of all of this,
real
I would be very happy.
Real Dej Hive hours.
Man.
Okay, so we're recording this on, it's not going to come out for a few days. We're recording this on the Monday after the album release. And today, Katie Weaver's GQ profile of Cardi came out. Katie, who just left GQ and today is apparently her first day here at the New York Times. So I do not see her walking the hallways, but hi, Katie, we're here. Something that she brought up with Cardi that I thought was really fascinating was this idea that Cardi is trying to smooth out her accent, that is basically trying to soften whether it's the New Yorkness, the Dominican and Trinidadianness, the Washington Heightsness, that she's trying to pronounce syllables in a more conventional, perhaps broadly appealing way. I found that a little strange because I sort of think the reason that everyone at this table and many millions of other people like Cardi is because Cardi feels like herself, like she feels true to herself. Not that this is not, maybe that's a part of her too, but I was surprised to hear that. And I wonder if there's opinions at the table about the potential efficacy or lack of efficacy of that and what that could do for her music. Wow, just crickets.
I think I've been pretty shocked that it hasn't happened already. And I thought that maybe the fact that we've got to this point without them sanding down any cardiness from Cardi, that maybe we'd pass that point.
That's what I thought,
and
too.
That nobody would want that version of her.
I think the way it played in the story, it was like she wanted it for herself. Yeah. It didn't sound like it was coming from anywhere else. I mean, the like 80% of the appeal of Cardi, and I love her, is like authenticity and the fact that she is like genuinely herself. So I don't understand why anybody would want that.
Yeah, I mean, even in like, you know, whether it's her Instagram videos or her tweets or, you know, any, like, she hasn't been tamed to this point, and it's only been good for her, I think, that she, you know, is still... sounds like she did in 2014 when people, you know, when the first wave of people fell in love with her. I don't know if she, yeah, if she feels like maybe, you know, I mentioned her hitting, if there's a ceiling for her, I don't know, maybe she feels like she's maxing out and needs to go around, but I don't think it's necessary.
Being polished or unpolished, but part of what I liked about all the interviews I've read with her is that, like, she's, you know, doesn't sound media trained, and it can be very challenging to interview people at this stage of their career. I know I don't want to like comparison like back and forth, but Julianne, you did like one of Nikki's first interviews. Was she unguarded at that point? Because I did one in 2010 and she was like getting guarded.
Yeah, she was unguarded. I mean, I think I read the piece and I want more context for what she said. Maybe I'll go in her Instagram later and ask her to expand on and elaborate because I think the way it was presented, it sounded like she was, yes, she was trying to soften it, take the New York out of it, which, you know, it sounds incongruous to everything that she's put forth to up to now. And also, you know, I think she is fiercely representative of Latinx communities and her Dominicanness, and she has never tried to tamp that down, and she's always been, you know, repping for that, as the story asks what rep means, but you can Google that too. So she's always been repping for her Dominicanness, and so it seems, I don't know, I wanted more context to that quote because I just, you know, I just need more for that.
Did it feel, you say you want more context because it felt not congruous with everything else that Cardi has said and done to this point?
Yeah. And, you know, maybe Karen's right that she's now kind of becoming, she's in a whole other tier than she was, you know, even like 6 months ago. And so now maybe she's being met with the hegemonizing and homogenizing elements within the industry that sort of want everything to be like packageable. And so, you know, maybe that's casting doubt in her because she's also, you know, as much as people champion her as like their feminist spirit guide or whatever, she's never obfuscated the fact that she has had insecurities and issues and problems.
I think in the piece, as I read it, it made me wonder this thing about insecurities and self-consciousness. And there's a big difference between recording videos to Instagram in 2014 and, you know, sitting in the front row of fashion shows in 2018 and who you're around and what the expectations of those rooms are and how that might change your perception of yourself.
Right.
Even if everyone's perception of you is the other thing, it still might change your perception of yourself.
Right.
And I think the interesting thing for kind of the I don't know if it's the 2.0, maybe the 3.0 phase of Cardi, because I think we've already gone through two or maybe even three distinct phases. So whatever the next phase, I think that'll be the interesting question is, do you start getting records that are much more sandpapered at the edges and neutered or feel less true to the spirit of Cardi that we've kind of all come to embrace?
I feel like it spoke actually more to her ambitions outside of music to be able to sit in a room of any kind, you know, and be able to elevate to, you know, or whatever, to whatever level of the kind of business that you want to get into.
And that's interesting because I feel like when I think I said this the first time we did a Cardi podcast, like around Bodak Yellow time, but when she first started making music, I was a little depressed by the fact that she felt like her only path to legitimacy was through rap. And I was like, you're a movie star. Like, do you. Like, you don't have to make rap songs if that's not really where your heart is. And I got the sense that she was just doing it because it was better than reality TV. I think she's proven me way wrong, that because she actually seems to love rapping and is amazing at it. But I think you're right that, like, she has ambitions like beyond that, which I feel like she always did, but she's the path she's taking is, you know, is quite savvy so
far.
Can
I plant the flag for something I put on Twitter a few months ago, but that I feel like...
Yes.
That's like what 80% of podcast is.
thank you / screw you. I don't know.
John Caramonica.
I did it for the change Twitter.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that Cardi B, I think they should reboot The Nanny with Cardi B in the Fran Drescher role.
Yeah, it's money.
I mean, literally book it. NBC, Netflix, whatever. Y'all out here putting Roseanne back on. Y'all putting Trading Spaces back on TV. By the way, read my critic's notebook on that. But y'all putting whatever the hell back on television.
Jersey Shore.
Y'all, I mean, I'm just saying that if I – can I get – do you think I'll get points on that?
I don't think so, but we'll know that you did it first. And what I think what spurred that realization was
what's that face?
Her appearance on Jimmy Fallon over the holidays.
Yes.
And tonight we're recording again on Monday. This will have already aired by the time you hear this, but she's co-hosting The Tonight Show.
Did you say on Twitter it was very generous Cardi B to allow Jimmy Fallon to co-host with her?
Yes.
Satchel.
But also, why are you trying to limit her to the nanny?
Not to the nanny. It's
she could be Jimmy Fallon.
I would much rather be the nanny than Jimmy Fallon, fair.
She could have a late night show was the implication.
Yes. I still think having a sitcom is better. And I understand that the racial dynamics would be different with her in the lead role. But I also think her singular character, it's such a singular character. Also the outfits, phenomenal. Like seriously, just dig into Fran Drescher's outfits on that show. Like, let's get it.
Iconic.
I mean, we live also though, right, like in an upside down time. Like being on television is arguably a step down from being as famous on the internet as Cardi B is.
True.
You know.
What was that face about, Naomi? Speak on it.
I don't know.
Share your feelings.
Making like neutered records seems to not work for anyone, rappers and pop stars included.
True.
You know, making Bodak Yellow seems to work very well. So I think what her next step is actually a fascinating question. And you know, on the Fallon point, I actually like Fran Drescher. I think is a good thing to channel. But I also I think Cardi B is like a Joan Rivers and not like, you know, like not the worst, none of the worst things that we may think about Joan Rivers, but like Joan Rivers lasted forever. Mm-hmm. And she was so deeply embedded in pop culture in a genuine way. And she was also, she did a lot of late night hosting and like a courageous woman, I think is maybe one of the best things I can say. And towards that, I think this idea of like wanting to control herself and be in control of how she's speaking, or you know, I think that is like a marker of ambitious people. And Katie, mm-hmm. I think, even says in the profile, and I may be wrong, that you know, this is an attempt to control something that she can control because so much in her life mm-hmm. is not in control.
Yeah.
And I do think that Cardi is a uniquely ambitious person and courageous person, and that she is just sort of trying to stay on top of everything. And I think that that's difficult, and I applaud her her courage.
Totally agree. I just wanted to like second the Joan Rivers notion. I love Joan Rivers. I know she was problematic in some ways, but like Cardi's comic timing.
Yeah, Cardi's is funny like as
insane.
Hell. There's no, yeah, that with we, yeah, we yeah. haven't come out and just said like
yeah.
on record, on Instagram, on whatever. She's yeah. one of the funniest people.
I mean, she just knows exactly when to take the beat and when to come back in. And you know, she did that SNL sketch with A.D. Bryant, and you just know that she probably nailed that in one take. And it is like very. There's some murmuring.
Well, yeah, I are we murmuring the same thing?
What did you murmur?
Just that there was, I think A.D. Bryant's very funny.
I hated that sketch.
I know. I just struggled with that sketch.
I'm not saying if I like the sketch. I'm saying that she's very good.
It was like the most reductive idea of how to engage with the idea of Cardi B.
Did you see what they did?
Like, let's infuse a white woman with a woman of color's attitude
and
voice. Like,
and then you got to bring Chadwick into it. Like, how are you going
to
do that?
This is what they don't know how to deal with musicians. They screwed with Adele. And, you know, did you see what they did with the Arcade Fire the week before?
Like,
I think if anyone at this table knows, I do not know what they did with
Arcade Fire. I don't think it was, but they played very much
on the... It was a reductive Canadian
the...
joke. This is what SNL does. Yeah. But it's like very, very rare when the musical guest, and I will say the last musical guest who had this comic timing, I hope you know who I'm going to say.
Drake?
You're going to say Katy Perry?
No, Miley Cyrus.
Oh!
Hannah Montana.
All good answers, though. Drake, Katy Perry, all good answers.
Drake was all right. He had a couple of really awkward sketches. I know. All right. This is not a referendum on SNL, but returning to...
You're right.
This is partially, but when we're talking about her rapping and her cadence is improving, she, you know, to understand the timing of comedy is also you know, it's like a form of rapping. You need to understand the pacing and the spaces and all that. So,
and it's another thing that comes naturally to her that she has only gotten better at.
Yes, and it's not labored at all. You can really tell when people are trying.
I think, Naomi, you said that we've had such a run of, like depressed men rapping. And obviously, we're in a time where for women of color and, you know, women with origins outside of the country, like, we're in this horrible moment. And here comes Cardi B with this, like, really fun album. And she, like, has a lot of fight to her. And it's just so important to feel energized from it, but also it's very an old school idea to be excited and funny in a rap album.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel current in that way.
Yeah.
It does feel like a late 90s to mid 2000s rap
right,
album,
which
is something we should have said earlier. It's I don't hear a lot of records like this anymore. Right. I hear records that are like heavily auto-tuned Atlanta rappers geared towards a streaming ecosystem. I hear Drake and post-Drake. I don't hear, like, a fun rap record that's, like, hook-heavy with bars and also, like, melody but not reliant upon melody.
Right.
That's not something that happens a lot.
Well, and also the versatility issue we've been talking about. I mean, that's Outkast. Like, Outkast, like, pioneered that. So I don't think it's a new idea, but I think it's an idea that doesn't get played with enough. And, you know, I think that if anything is going to get us out of this rote, staid, like, boring SoundCloud rap zone that we're in, it's going to be her. She's, like, very, like, pre-Brockhampton.
Wow. Right?
Okay, we can talk
about
that.
Wow, is that PB,
later.
PB, and A, and AB?
In, like, a whole
BB
other thing,
AB?
But I guess it's another podcast.
Wow, BB and AB.
And
is that,
she's you know, she's pretty young. And it almost kind of feels like she's apart from time a little bit and in her own thing. I just want to add to what you're saying, Julianne, and say that it's also especially cool to hear a woman talking about sex and enjoying sex and talking about how great she is at sex. It's just kind of rare. It's really fun.
We talk about how good she is at putting bleach into cereal. that's the other thing that she's great at.
That's some Noella shit, dude. You're like out getting revenge.
Let's go out on a fun Cardi song from this album, one of many. Let's go out on Moneybag, which also has a nod to the God Plies, which I'm very appreciative of.
Friday. This is sweet Saturday, that's just what I say. I say, babe, it's a snack. He said, it's an entree. With them pretty ass twins, you look like Beyonce. Looking like money back, money back, money back, money back, money back, money back, yeah. Money back, money back.
That's our show. It's Sweet Popcast Friday. Appreciate you listening. Thank you to all my guests, Julianne Escobedo Shepherd, Karen Gans, Naomi Zeichner, Joe Coscarelli. Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Email us your favorite Cardi B bars or IG videos or deleted snaps at podcast@nytimes.com. You should subscribe to the podcast at Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, even anywhere you get your audio content. Our producer, who is incredibly enthused with this episode in particular, is Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media. We will be back next week.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.